translation and purport by His divine grace. The cows, the bulls, and the calves were thoroughly smeared with a mixture of turmeric and oil, mixed with varieties of minerals. Their heads were bedecked with peacock feathers, and they were garlanded and covered with cloths and golden ornaments. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has instructed in Bhagavad Gita 18:44, Krishi Gauraksha Vanijyam Vaishya Karma Sabhavajam. Farming, cow protection, and trade are the qualities of work for a Vaishya. Nanda Maharaj belonged to a Vaishya community and the agriculturalist community. How to protect the cows and how the rich community were explained in this verse. We can hardly imagine that cows, bulls, and calves could be cared for so nicely and decorated so well with clothes and valuable golden ornaments. How happy they were. As described elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, during Maharaj Yudhishthira's time, the cows were so happy that they used to muddy the pasturing grounds with milk. This is Indian civilization. Yet in the same place, India, Bharatvarsha, how much people are suffering by giving up the Vedic way of life and not understanding the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Text 6 prior to this has no purport, but we'll still read that. The translation to text 6 is, Vrajapura, the residence of Nanda Maharaj, was fully decorated with varieties of festoons and flags. In different places, gates were made with varieties of flower garlands, pieces of cloth, and mango leaves. The courtyards, the gates near the roads, and everything within the rooms of the house were perfectly swept and washed with water. Om Jnana Trimandandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshusunitam Yena Tasmay Sri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this chapter, of course, is entitled The Meeting of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev. So as you all know from the pastimes of Krishna from the Krishna book, that when Krishna appeared in this material world, it was in the dead of night. And in that dead of night, it is described that it was a very stormy night, rain was pouring, the Yamuna River was flooding. And in this situation, Nanda Maharaj was in, as is mentioned here, his town's name was Vrajapura or Gokul. And Vasudev, he took Krishna across in the stormy conditions. And while he reached Nanda Maharaj's place of residence, Krishna was swapped with the baby girl being given birth by Mother Yashoda. So this meeting was in the dead of night. It wasn't during the day. So there were not many people who witnessed the meeting of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev. But in this chapter, from the beginning, it is described how Nanda Maharaj's villages or city, and how all the palaces, everything was so nicely decorated with flowers and garlands and mango leaves. Now this was all in anticipation of the arrival of the childbirth of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. But of course nobody knew that the child which was going to be born was going to be a male or female. So even Mother Yashoda, at the time of giving birth, she did not know whether she gave birth to a male or female child. Because during the birth, the labor pains were so strong that she fell unconscious. So the only person who knew about the birth of a female child was Nanda Maharaj and the midwife. Because in the dead of night, there's not many people around, you know. So anyway, when next morning, when the babies were swapped, there was announcement everywhere in the village that a boy child has been born at the place of Nanda Maharaj. And as soon as everybody heard about the male child being born, They were all very joyous. Now, of course, this joy was not ordinary joy, because it was a very, very special joy, because when the presence of the Supreme Lord is there, when the Supreme Lord appears, He brings happiness to everyone. It is explained that just like the sun, when it's in its full glory, is shining and its rays are penetrating the depth of the universal cosmos, the sun rays are going so far that everywhere there is light in the whole cosmos. So similarly, when the Supreme Lord appears, all happiness is spread around from His transcendental body. And everyone who is within that area is completely affected by that transcendental happiness. Of course, that happiness was there, and everybody was very joyous. And as soon as the word spread around, everybody started coming to Nanda Maharaj's place. And here it is described how all the cows and the bulls and cows were decorated with golden ornament, with colorful clothes, and they were smeared with turmeric powder and oil. And they were taken so nice care of. And in the previous verse it is mentioned that Nanda Maharaj gave away 2 million cows in charity. Now just imagine, 2 million cows is not a small amount. If you just go to our Gaushala, we have, I think, about 50 right now, in terms of numbers. And can you imagine 2 million? And this is the number of cows He gave away. So if He can give away so many cows away in charity, how many more millions He has? Now this is not very easy to comprehend, even to us who are devotees of the Lord and have faith, that when we go for our little pilgrimage to India and we go to Gokul, it is the place where Krishna had His beginning childhood pastimes, and you look around in Gokul, and you figure out, how can this place accommodate millions of cows? It is impossible for us to comprehend. But of course, the scriptures are saying that, and scriptures are not wrong, but only thing is that our perception is wrong. Just like there is that story of the Brahmana and the cobbler. And in that story, when Brahmana and cobbler are met with Narada Muni, and of course Narada Muni goes to Vaikuntha, and Lord Narayan is there, and Lord Narayan says that when you go back to the Brahmana and the cobbler, just tell him that I am threading a needle, an elephant through an eye of a needle. Now, of course, some of us have experience. It is not very easy to put a thread through an eye of a needle in best of times. What to speak of an elephant through an eye of a needle? So, of course, when this was mentioned to the Brahmana, Brahmana, being a very, very intellectual person, was thinking that this is foolish. How can an elephant be put through an eye of a needle? So either Narada Muni is lying about the activities of the Supreme Lord in Vaikuntha, or he's a fake Narada. But then the same thing was placed in front of the cobbler, and cobbler, when he heard that the Supreme Lord Narayan is putting an elephant through an eye of a needle, he immediately jumped with joy, and he's belief was beyond understanding that how magnificent the Supreme Lord is. He can do tremendous things. Then Narada Muni said, are you sure you accept what I'm saying? He said, of course. If the Supreme Lord in his creation can put a huge banyan tree in a tiny seed, what is the difficulty in putting an elephant through an eye of a needle? So when we hear these pastimes, sometimes we feel the figures given are beyond our imagination, and we cannot comprehend them in our relative little understanding, because we try to figure out with our material mind the amount of space required for so many cows, and if you have so many cows, then how much millions of acreage of land is required. And when you go to Gokul, it's the whole Braj is 84 square kilometers. Never mind Gokul. Gokul is part of it. So in 84 square kilometers, if you try to put 2 million cows, they're going to take over the whole space. Plus, as we know, that when we go there, we find that there is not enough pasture grounds where this, luscious grass growing. And animals, of course, as we all know, that those who have been to our Gaushala, how much feed we have to give to our cows to keep them healthy and strong. So it's very difficult to comprehend that. But, of course, we have to have faith that this is not an ordinary situation, this is a transcendental situation. And in transcendental realm, anything can be possible. Just like when we hear from great acharyas when they describe that when Krishna comes to this material world, he brings his Gokul, his Vrindavan with him. So when he brings that Vrindavan comes and manifests in this material world. Although this material world is not spiritual, but within the material world, the spiritual world manifests. And this spiritual world is a transcendental place where to our material eyes it may seem very small. But in a transcendental level, you cannot comprehend. Huh? Just like, you know, I don't know if many of you are familiar with Doctor Who his TARDIS, little telephone kiosk. And when you enter inside, it is gigantic. So even in the materialist minds, they can imagine something which is beyond material understanding. So the spiritual world is completely beyond our understanding. And these can only be understood when we are practicing the process of Krishna consciousness and when we become fully realized and free from contamination, then Krishna reveals these things to us. And when Krishna reveals the transcendental nature of his Dham, then we can actually understand that his Dham is not ordinary place. Even nowadays when we go to Vrindavan, you know, we find beautiful descriptions given in the scriptures about Vrindavan Dham. And what we see now is a whole different ballgame. We don't see the Vrindavan described in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. What we see in Vrindavan is a material manifestation of a village now trying to become very developed and becoming like a small city. If anyone who had been to Vrindavan, maybe 30, 40 years ago, you would have seen a completely different Vrindavan than what you see today. In my own experience, in 1982, when we first time went to India, all there was on that Bhaktivedanta Marg was the Krishna Balaram Temple, and there was an old ashram next to it, and all the way from there, right up to Chatikara entrance on Mathura Highway, was nothing there. And when you step outside the Krishna Balaram Temple on the back side, of course, MVT was not yet constructed, so you could see with your eyes as far as you can see. All you can see is plain ground and some paddy fields and some trees, and in the distance you can see Yamuna. Today, if you go on the back side of the Krishna Balaram Temple, all you see is construction and construction and construction. And then you have to wind your way through all these different pathways. Eventually you'll come to the Yamuna. But in those days it was a different Vrindavan. So in a short space of time, it's changed so much. So when we describe this beautiful description of Vrindavan, it is not very easy to comprehend. So the only way to see Vrindavan or experience Vrindavan is to have Vrindavan consciousness. And we have to go into understanding the transcendental realm. And this, as I said, cannot be understood on an intellectual level, but on a level of bhakti. When you see things with the eyes of bhakti, with the eyes of devotion, then Krishna reveals these things. And when these things are revealed to you, then you can understand the greatness of the Supreme and your faith and the Supreme increases beyond doubt. So this is the transcendental nature of understanding the Supreme Realm. Of course, in the Purport, Prabhupada is mentioning that in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, it is described about the qualities of the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, the Brahmanas, and the Shudras. So here Prabhupada is citing the 1844, is about the qualities of a Vaishya. So, of course, it's mentioned that Nanda Maharaj, as a coward man, he was a Vaishya. He was taking care of the cows very nicely. And because he was taking the care of the cows very nicely as his duty, he was performing his duty perfectly, and therefore he was very happily situated. Now, in the Krishna book, where he's describing the chapter of where Nanda Maharaj has the opulence, his opulence is beyond understanding. In fact, the previous verses when we have read, saying that along with the cows, he gives 7 big mountains of grains covered with gold and jewelry. So can you imagine how much opulence he must have? Tremendous opulence. Now, if you look at today's world, when we talk about cow protection, we find that people are thinking it is not economically viable. Because we are thinking in terms of economics and thinking in terms of how much milk do we receive from a cow, and how much feed we have to give to the cow, and the expense of keeping the cow and the milk doesn't weigh out. Even nowadays, many people are complaining when we are selling our milk at a higher rate, because it's considered not ordinary milk. It is milk from the cows of Gokulananda. It is not something material. It is spiritual. Of course, you cannot put a price on it. But still, you know, you go to a supermarket and you get 4-liter container for a pound, sometimes even 89 pence. So why is it cheap? So how is it possible that this milk they're selling in the marketplace at such a cheap rate, and the farmers who are running dairy farms are still making money? Somewhere they are making profit. So of course, this is our material calculation. But here, Prabhupada is saying that when you follow the proper dharma, according to Vedic culture, then everything becomes perfectly situated and all happiness is based in the following of Vedic culture. And Prabhupada introduced this Vedic culture to us in the beginning. Of course, it was very simple. He was just saying, chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam. And slowly, slowly, as the devotees became more and more familiar with the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, he introduced little more, a little more, a little more. And then he introduced farm communities. Now, farm communities were basically one ashram in practice. The farms were not just considered farms that you go and buy a tract of land and you plow the land and just grow some food grains and you think that's just farming. Of course, Prabhupada's concept of farm community was not a simple farm, but it was a one ashram community. And myself, I was fortunate that I was part of for a number of years living in New Vrindavan. Prabhupada was very proud of New Vrindavan. He mentions in the pages of Bhagavatam, in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita, how proud it was. We have Dharmatma Prabhu here, who was also one of the old-time residents from New Vrindavan. And for me, I saw practically that when I first went to New Vrindavan, all I saw was cows and cows and cows, hundreds of cows. And the opulence of New Vrindavan was there because of the cows. Wherever there are cows who are taken care of nicely, opulence automatically come. But if you read in the Lilamrita how New Vrindavan began, it was a very austere place. It is not your exactly a tropical place. In the winter is freezing cold, the summer is very pleasant, and in the two extremities, you know, there was a lot of austerities, there was no wealth at all. But slowly, as the devotees started practicing one ashram dharma, specifically taking care of cows, and the cows community increased more and more, and opulence came. And same understanding here in Bhaktivinoda Manor. When Prabhupada first came here, he said, bring cows. And he mentioned the figure 150 cows in those days. And we only had 17 acres of land. And some devotees in those days asked Prabhupada that, Srila Prabhupada, we only have 17 acres and it's not sufficient to take care of 150 cows. So Prabhupada said, what is the problem? Buy more land. Because Prabhupada understood very clearly that if you take care of cows nicely, all opulence will come. And opulence means not just wealth, but peacefulness in your heart. I have experienced this myself, that whenever I feel a little disturbed in my mind, or I'm sort of sad or due to some material situation, I go to the gaushala and hang around with the cows. And you hang around with the cows, and automatically your mind feels very peaceful. And you feel very happy. And the cows have this natural peacefulness in their hearts, that when you are within the close proximity of the cows, that peacefulness of the cows rubs onto you. This is also said that each one of us, as far as living entity is concerned, that the living entity, when it is embodied in a particular body, there is a kind of an aura which or consciousness which spreads around, and it goes around 3 meters around your body. And this is your own self. And if you're sitting next to someone in the close proximity within that 3 meter space, then what happens is that whatever your consciousness, whatever you're thinking, will influence the person next to you, and vice versa. This I understood from one very great acharya of the Gaudiya, of the Madhva Math in Udupi. I was there one time in 1993 with Bhakti Swarup Damodara Maharaj. There were a group of devotees, some Manipuris, some French disciples. We were all traveling with Maharaj, and we went on a South India tour. And eventually when we reached Udupi, Maharaj had a connection with the leader of the Math at the time, who was taken care of, because they have a rotation, you know, of different leaders who take care of the Math. So this particular time, the actual Acharya who was taking care of the Math had some connection with Bhakti Swarup Damodara Maharaj. So we went to see him, and we were invited to go inside. And he was sitting in a seat made of wood. And obviously, myself and other disciples who were with Maharaj, we thought that we'll put a nice seat near enough next to the Acharya. So I had one of these woolen knitted seat, which we carry with us wherever we go, and we offer that to Maharaj. So I approach, and I was approaching the Acharya's close proximity, and he said, "Hey, stop!" I think, what am I doing wrong here? So I stopped and said, "Am I doing anything wrong?" He said, "Yes, put it there." So I put it at a distance. Then, of course, you know, Maharaj was talking and discussing the subject of Krishna and you know, how Madhvacharya brought Krishna there and all this different subject. And everything was finished. I was still in my mind thinking, why? So I said, "Please forgive me. I'm a ignorant person. But I want to know that why you made me put the seat that far. You know, he is our spiritual master. And as far as we understand, the spiritual master is supposed to be worshipped as good as God. So you are an acharya, he is an acharya. I cannot understand why." And he explained to me, saying that we have an consciousness, and if someone comes to a close proximity, then that person's consciousness and the other person's consciousness will mix. And when they mix, then whichever is a stronger one will influence the other one. So if I am in a very, very sort of lusty mood, you know, and I'm lust oozing out of my heart and every pore of my body, and someone comes and sits next to me who is a very pure-hearted person and very simple, that person will become lusty within seconds. Because lust for my heart is so powerful. As we all know, lust, greed, anger, these are very, very powerful elements in this material world, because they are in their nature. So they have very, very strong influence. So therefore, it is said that when we are with the cows, then it brings us natural peace. Of course, the point I was trying to make is that here at Bhaktivinoda Manor, when Prabhupada asks us to bring cows, we started with 3 or 4 cows in our what we have, the devotee kitchen today, was the originally horse stables, and that was converted into gaushala. So we had cows there, and gradually we shifted from there into the fields, and then slowly, the gaushala started developing and getting more cows. And Bhaktivinoda Manor also started becoming very opulent. And I believe very strongly that wherever cows are taken care of nicely, that temple becomes very, very opulent. Tremendous opulence comes. That is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And same I've seen in other centers where we have cows. taken care of nicely, opulence comes. And this is where it's mentioned here that if we follow our dharma according to Vedic culture, then all good things come automatically. We don't have to enter separately. So for us as devotees of the Supreme Lord Krishna, Krishna is, of course, the supreme coward man. Although, I was just thinking this morning, when I was taking darshan of Gokulananda, I was thinking that the verse is talking about Nanda Maharaj and his cows, and how Nanda Maharaj is a Vaishya, and taking, you know, care. But Krishna was not born in Nanda Maharaj's house. He was born in Vasudeva and Devaki in the palace of Kansa. And obviously, later on, when Krishna leaves Vrindavan to go to Mathura, and then from Mathura on to Dwarka, he goes to Dwarka, and I was thinking, there's no mention anywhere in Dwarka, the pastime of Krishna in Dwarka, that he had hundreds and thousands of cows there. There's mention of 900 palaces there, and his huge Narayan Senas, and his armies and everything, but there is no mention of cows there. But we all know that ultimately Krishna in Dwarka and Krishna in Vrindavan are the same Krishna but different manifestation, where Krishna in Vrindavan, as Prabhupada describes, is the original Krishna, you know, in Golok Vrindavan, in the traditional sense, that originally Krishna is a coward man. And he's more happy with the cows than in Dwarka. Even in Dwarka, he's sitting there in his palace with his hundreds of queens, but he's thinking Vrindavan. He's always meditating on Vrindavan. Why? Because that Vrindavan Krishna has his natural place where he feels happy. So similarly, we are saying that wherever our temples are flourishing, where there is cow protection. And of course, Prabhupada did mention that we should get nice places where we can take care of the cows nicely. And simply by taking care of cows, two things happen, as I said. One, in my experience, opulence will come. And two, peacefulness will come. Because wherever cows are there, they naturally bring peacefulness. And all of us are looking for peacefulness. And this peacefulness cannot be found here, there, and everywhere. But, as is mentioned in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, that when you are associating with the right kind of persons, then automatically that peacefulness comes. So, here in a manner, you know, when you go to the Gaushala, you will see that there is a special peacefulness there that it brings. And as I said, that because we are taking care of cows nicely, Krishna is reciprocating and giving us opulence. There is no shortage of anything in the manner. Although we always think we are always short of things, but that is our human nature. You know, even the guy who has got a big corporate business, he's a millionaire. He asks, "Sir, are you happy?" He said, "No, I want more." So, but you have millions. No, I want millions more. He's never satisfied. So, in similar thing, that when we think about our human nature and thing, that we always think, "Oh, we are short of things," but in reality, we are not short of things at all. Krishna is providing everything. You know, we have saram, we have place to stay, we have everything taken care of. Where is anything lacking? Nothing is lacking. It's only our desires, I think, if only had more. We need more. But we don't have faith in Krishna. We must have complete, implicit faith in Krishna. And if you have faith in Krishna, then Krishna provides. And of course, as Prabhupada says, that you take care of the Supreme Lord in his deity form, we worship him nicely, and you take care of the cows nicely, everything becomes perfect. We see even like Mayapur is expanding beyond anyone's imagination. And if you think when Prabhupada first sent devotees in the early years of our ISKCON development, what was happening? It was paddy fields there. There was nothing there. And the perfect example of what was there in the beginning is you just go to the front gate of Sridhar Mayapur, Chandradaya Mandir, and you see Prabhupada's bhajan kutir. Very simple, made of mud and grass. That was what was there. Nothing else. But now you go further in and you have the conch building and the lotus building and this building and that building and opulence galore. Why? cows are taken care of nicely, because when you go to our Mayapur Gaushala, cows are taken care of nicely. Vrindavan, our Gaushala, cows are taken care of nicely. Everything is becoming very opulent and very peaceful. So the secret to become very peaceful is to take care of cows nicely. And the devotee's business, of course, besides Prabhupada's instruction of expanding the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spreading the Krishna consciousness throughout the world by distributing prasaram and books, for personal development, Prabhupada said, develop communities, farm communities. Your city centers are there to attract the people who are in the city. But then you have to have communities where we can take care of the cows very nicely and develop our Krishna consciousness. And I will give you one more example, that in Bali, although the Indonesian islands, there are cows everywhere, beautiful cows. But in Bali, the Dutch, when they came some 300-400 years ago, they made a ruling, no cows are allowed to come on that island from outside, except for the indigenous cows. And the indigenous cows are very beautiful, but unfortunately they don't give milk. They only give sufficient milk for the baby calf. And when the calf has finished being nourished by the mother cow, then she stops giving milk. But there isn't enough milk, you know. Whereas other cows, we see, you know, you let the calf drink as much as the calf needs, and then there's still more milk left over. And I've seen many times, early in the morning, you know, when I used to go to the Gaushala, the cows are walking and the udders are dripping with milk. Means the udders are so full of milk that there is sufficient milk. But the cows in Bali, they don't give milk. But somehow, you know, everyone in Bali is known, if you know the culture there, is considered a Hindu island. And Hindu culture is very prominent. But it's a different kind of Hinduism from what you and I know, or you and I are exposed to in terms of India. So even the Brahmanas there, they eat cows. It's strange for me to understand that, but that is how their culture is. And those cows are considered very, very special in the meat, that it is very tender and kind of different flavor, whatever. So in order to preserve these indigenous cows, they don't allow cows to come from outside. So there's no milk. Although Bali is an island for tourism, and tourists come from all over the world, they all want their morning cup of coffee and tea and breakfast, and they have their cornflakes and milk. But there is no milk available in the island because there is no cows. So they get this carton milk which is coming from New Zealand. And this milk is basically white-colored water. It has no milk qualities. But Kali Yuga is Kali Yuga. So when I went to Bali, I suggested to devotees that somehow we must get cows for Radha Raseshwar. Because if we really want to please the Supreme Lord, then we must serve Radha Raseshwar with cows and cow milk. You know, use cow's milk for Abhishek, use cow's milk for offering Mangalati sweet, and every offering you make a nice hot cup of milk with saffron and offer it to Raseshwar. And this is our service. And when we please Krishna, all opulence will come. And it was very difficult to get cows. But somehow, some 30, 40 years back, one Italian guy, he came and he convinced the local governor that I want to do kind of an experiment here with cows. So he got some Jersey cows there. And he's the only one who's allowed to have cows. No one. So somehow his cow herd was about 100, 150 with calves and bulls and some calves, you know. And he's doing kind of experiments. I don't know what experiment he was doing. But somehow we developed good friendship with one of the so-called Brahmin leaders. And through some different influence, we got one cow and one calf at Radha Raseshwar. Not legally, but kind of on the quiet. And as soon as the cow came, and then she was giving milk, so we started offering Radha Rasiswara good quality milk, homemade. We know we are feeding good quality grass to a cow, and the milk was being offered to Radha Rasiswara. And then when the calf grew up, we artificially inseminated the cow, because otherwise you can't do any other process. And we had another cow born. And now we have a herd of at least 10 cows there, and four bulls, just from one cow and one calf. And all this is happening, I suppose, by the mercy of Radha Rasiswara, because he is a coward man and he loves cows. And if you have seen how the Radha Rasiswara temple is developing, you know, from what it was in the middle of nowhere, a small temple, all opulence is coming there. So in my own experience, I see that wherever I have seen where cows are taken care of nicely, opulence comes naturally. And people and devotees are more peaceful and more happy. So the secret of being happy is, one, of course, worship the Supreme Lord, and two, take care of his cows. And when we take care of his cows, everything comes naturally. Just like is mentioned here, Nanda Maharaj had tremendous opulence beyond the three worlds. Anybody can comprehend. I was reading about Ravana and his the golden Lanka, where he had golden palace and all these things. Now, compared to Ravana's golden palace and all this, Nanda Maharaj was far, far superior to him in terms of wealth. Because he had tremendous wealth in terms of gold, jewelry, clothing, grains, everything. And he could give it away liberally, you know, to all the brahmanas in charity, because they're observing so many Vedic functions. And still he wasn't short of anything. It kept increasing, his opulence. Of course, that opulence is there because Krishna is there and his cows are there. So for us, in conclusion, I would say that if you want to be happy, very peaceful, then simply follow the Vedic culture as Prabhupada mentions here. And especially in the last line here, Prabhupada is saying, how much people are suffering by giving up the Vedic way of life and not understanding the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. It's very simple. Simply by following Vedic culture. And Vedic culture doesn't mean other real, you know, rituals and rules, regulations of the thing are what called Vedic culture. Vedic culture is very simple. Worship the Supreme Lord and take care of his cows. And everything becomes perfect. And if you are peaceful, then you are a happy man. And if you are a happy person, then you are a content person. And if you are content, then you can sit down under a tree and go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, without any problems. Otherwise, you'll have your japa mala, you're walking around going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, and the mind is wandering in 20,000 different directions. I want this, I want this, I need to do that, I need to do that. And what happens? Your chanting becomes inattentive. And if it's inattentive chanting and it is messed up, then your chanting is futile, because it's not going to give you the desired result. At the end of the day, what are we chanting for? To become Krishna conscious, to connect with the Supreme, to become peaceful and be happy. As Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So if you want to be really happy, then this is what we need to do. So I would say that if you really want to chant good japa, temple room is one place and the gaushala is the other place. And try it out, and I'm sure you'll see your chanting will improve so wonderfully. And if your chanting improves, then you'll be very, very happy and content. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.